And so we want to turn in Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, we've spent some time in Matthew, we've spent some time in Luke over the last few services, but you know, everything leads up to an event. And so I know that our focus is on the event, which is the birth of Jesus, and of course that is the most important, but yet there's things that lead to that event. And there's some things that take place, and everything is, I believe, orchestrated by the Lord when it comes to the birth of Jesus, when it comes to the Bible and the things that take place, that everything is orchestrated. And so there's different people in the Bible that we kind of focus on. There's different individuals. We think of Paul. We think of Peter, we think of John, we think of Elijah and Elisha and Moses and Abraham and different people that that God uses. There are actually some people in the Bible that don't have a name, or at least the Bible doesn't record their name, that even they are used. And so we have to understand that God had a plan. And of course we start in Genesis and go through Revelation, and this is all part of God's plan. And so I want us to kind of consider the passage that we read tonight as we're leading up to the birth of Christ. But before the birth takes place, there's an event that's shown in the scriptures that we want to focus on. And there's been many messages preached upon this in this verse, but I don't know how much can be added, but I just kind of want us to just consider where you are in your life, and consider where this one that we're going to focus on, which was a no-named person, and what led up to this event. So let's begin reading with Luke chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." So we've titled this message tonight, Making Room for Jesus. Making Room for Jesus. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this day that you've blessed us with. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to spend some time with you. And so, Father, I pray, as we mentioned this morning, that we come to worship, that we come to grow, that we come to get closer to you. So, Father, I pray that you'll help me tonight. We thank you for those that are here. We are grateful for those that are viewing. And, Lord, I just pray that you'll help us tonight. Help us, Lord, to make room for you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Could you imagine being the innkeeper? A lot of times we think of different Christmas programs, different pageants that churches put on, that churches display, and there's an innkeeper that is depicted here that is telling Mary and Joseph that there's no room. There's no room. And so I think of the verse of Scripture that is found in Luke chapter 9, verse 58, that says, "And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nest, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." Can you imagine the innkeeper? Of course, the innkeeper really didn't know what was about to take place. The innkeeper didn't know what glorious event was about to happen. and that was happening. But yet he still gave the words, no room in the inn. I don't know if you've ever experienced this before, but there's been two different occasions that I can remember, that I can recall to my mind, where we were traveling, and when we got there, we didn't have a room. There was one time that we had made reservations, and we had been driving most of the night. I left after I had gotten off, where we left after I had gotten off from work. And this has been several years now, and we were tired, and we go in, and you're expecting to have a place, and we get there, and they say, we don't have any room. Now, you can imagine how you must have felt, and how we must have felt. We first of all, were tired, and then we were bothered that we had made reservations, and, of course, the person that was working the counter, they didn't really know what was going on, and so you become kind of frustrated, and you're like, well, but we made reservations. We have a room. And they said, there is no rooms to be found. All the rooms were taken. And so the only way that we could have had a place was to kick somebody out. And, of course, we know that that wasn't going to happen. Now, fortunately, they did call a couple of other hotels for us, and we wasn't where we wanted to stay, but at least we did have a place to stay, but there was no room. And then there was another time that we were going to, it was the Pigeon Forge area, and they had actually called us on the way. They had actually called us, say, are you still coming? And it was actually, when they had called us, it was about 15 minutes before check-in time. So usually you have plenty of time to check in. And they had actually called us on the way, and we were about 30 to 45 minutes out from them. And they had called us, and we answered the phone and said, they said, you know, are you still coming? And they said, yes, we're still coming. And so when we get there, they say, well, we've done given your room out. And, of course, that was the second time, and I said, well, what's the point in calling me to see if I'm coming or not? But they did manage to say, well, we're going to give you a better room, and we're going to do this for you, and so on and so forth. And so it wasn't the room that we chose. It wasn't the room that we were supposed to get, but at least we did have a place to stay. But the point is, in this passage, is there was no room for Jesus. There was no room. Now, we know everything is God orchestrated. We know everything was part of God's plan. We know that the manger and all these things was still part of God's plan. But yet, a lot of times, God will use situations in our lives to get us to where we need to be. And so with this innkeeper, as we can try to imagine, and I already made this statement, but the only way that Jesus would have had room, or Mary and Joseph would have had room in the inn, was that he would have to ask someone to leave. He would have to ask someone to leave. Now, I want us to kind of consider that thought. That the only way that Jesus would have had room in this inn was that someone would need to leave. And so imagine being the innkeeper. Imagine giving those words, there is no room. Now, I want to take some individuals tonight that's found in the Bible that had to literally make room for Jesus in their life. And they're all in this Christmas time period, this Christmas story, if you will, that we spend a lot of time with throughout the month of December, although I don't necessarily think it needs to stay in December because the birth of Christ is so important, but yet that's traditionally kind of what we do. And I'd like to begin with Mary. What did Mary have to do to make room for Jesus? Well, if you go back just a few verses, actually, in Luke chapter 1, if you go back here, then Mary's life changed. And so I want to begin tonight by saying this. Mary had to remove herself to make room for Jesus. Mary had to remove herself. Luke chapter 1, verse 35, the Bible says, "And the angel answered and said unto her," and this is Mary, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Now, God chose Mary to deliver Jesus. God chose Mary to carry Jesus as she was expecting a child. And so God chose Mary for this wonderful event of the birth of Christ. And there was no doubt that I mentioned this a few services ago, but I just want to repeat it. There was no doubt that people would not understand. And that's the reason I would say that she removed herself, because she had to consider, she literally had to somewhat take her feelings out of the picture, because people wouldn't understand that she was pregnant and going to have a child. And so there's people that's not going to understand. So she had to remove herself to be able to do the task that God set for her. Now let's kind of think about our own life for just a minute. There are people out in this world that is not going to understand why we worship the way we do. There's going to be people that don't understand why that we make Christ, or that we should make Christ, first in our life. There's people that's not going to understand why we feel like it's important to come to church. There's going to be people that don't understand why we serve the Lord. There's going to be people that don't understand. And although we might set a point, well, I serve a risen Savior because I love Him and He first loved me, and Jesus died on the cross for my sins and that I'm saved, there's still going to be a lack of understanding with the world. The world isn't going to understand that. The world is going to kind of look on believers as kind of inadequate, or they just kind of roll their eyes in a sense. And so therefore we must remove ourselves and put Him first. And put Him first. So Mary had to do just that. Can you imagine the pressure that she must have felt? The pressure in life that she must have felt. She knew what was going on, but others did not. She knew what was going on that others did not. Her hopes, her dreams, her ideas of life changed. All for the glory of the Lord. However, what God had planned was far more precious. What God had planned for her, and I believe it's where she says, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." What God had planned for her was far better than what she could have ever planned for herself. And so that's the picture here, is the life that we live here in this life, in this world, the life that we live here, we're going to have to endure some things. But what God has planned for us is far better. It's far better. What God has planned for us is far better than what we could even plan for ourselves, because there are some limitations in our planning. We don't know the whole picture, but He does. And I'll read to you that what I just mentioned just a few minutes ago in Luke chapter 1, verse 46. The Bible says, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." So for her to remove herself, in a sense, and her ideas and her plans and those type of things, but what God had for her was far better. And so she had to literally make room for Jesus. Mary removed herself to make room for Christ. And God called upon Mary to do just that. God called upon Mary for this divine plan. And I'm grateful tonight that she said yes. I'm grateful tonight that she said yes. Well, what about Joseph? Joseph, too, dealt with some things. Joseph, too, was to be Mary's husband. So what did Joseph have to remove? Well, Joseph removed his plans. Mary removed herself. Joseph removed his plans to make room for Christ. And we see this in Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. The Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted as God with us. And Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus." Joseph had to remove his plans. Joseph had to remove his ideas. But God had a new plan for Joseph. And God was going to bless him. He knew this was not his child, but yet he was asked to do this task. So he had to remove his plans for this to happen. He would be faced with the possibility of ridicule, and I'm sure he was. He would be faced with the world's non-understanding, which I'm sure he was. But he would need to help Mary. He would need to love Mary, and he would need to support Mary in the task that she had. So they worked together for God's plan. So Mary had to remove herself. Joseph had to remove his plans, but yet his plans were not as important as God's plan. And God's plans not only affected them, but God's plans affects us today. God had a better plan than Joseph had, because God had the plan. And that's important. Plans are plans. Plans can be changed. But God had the plan that gave the world an opportunity to be saved. You see, God called upon Joseph, so he himself had to make room for Jesus. He himself had to make room for Jesus. Now, who else is in this passage of Scripture that had to make, or in this Christmas story, that had to make room for Jesus? Well, last Sunday, we talked about the shepherds, about what we had in common with the shepherds. Well, we won't take time to read the passage, but it's found in Luke chapter 2. And the shepherds had to remove, or had to be removed from their flock, their livelihood. They had to be removed. So what was important was no longer important. Yes, we still have to have a livelihood, and we still have to do certain things, but yet what was first to them and what was important to them was not as much as important as finding Jesus. Luke chapter 2, I'll just read one verse, and that's found in verse 16. The Bible says, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger." You see, they had to remove from their flock to make room for Jesus. And I like to kind of put it like this. They had to make time for Jesus. They had to make time when they removed from their flock and they removed themselves from their flock. They were making time for Jesus. Jesus became real to them and everything else wasn't quite as important. That's putting Jesus first in their life. They could have made excuses. They could have said, well, who's going to watch over our flock? And I heard somebody talk about that one time years ago about, well, what happened to the flock? If they left them, what happened to their flock? Well, I think if God had anything to do with that flock was just fine. Because God has control over all things. So that flock was just fine. They were doing what God had called them to do and follow that star. And I believe that everything else will be just fine if we put him first. You see, that's what they were doing. They could have said, we'll do it later. They could have said, well, we'll wait and go tomorrow. But they chose Jesus over the flock. They chose Jesus over time. Every day we are reminded, or at least I'm reminded, how short life is. There are things that we dream of. There's things that we make plans for. There's things that we have these ideas. And if you're like I am, then there's very little that I probably got accomplished in life that I had set out to do because it seems like the time is running out. But there's one thing that we should make time for. No matter what age we are, there's one thing that we should make time for, and that is this. Putting Jesus first. Putting Jesus first. If we're living and we're breathing, we can do that task. We can make him first in our life, but we have to make room for him. And trust me when I say this, and you could probably echo this statement, but when it comes to putting Jesus first, there's always going to be something that tries to get in the way. There's always going to be something that seems to be more important than Jesus. But we know tonight that there is nothing more important than your relationship with Jesus Christ. There's absolutely nothing more important than your relationship with Jesus Christ. By making room for Christ, they had time to praise. They praised him. They praised him. In verse 20 of Luke chapter 2 says this, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen and was told unto them." So when we make time for Jesus, then I believe that we're going to make time to praise him. I mentioned this morning about worshiping him. But I believe there's time also to praise him. To praise him. But the shepherds had to be removed from their flock. So we see Mary, we see Joseph, we see the shepherds, and now we see the wise men. And we shared this passage to you this morning about the wise men, but I want to just mention a portion of this, and that's in Matthew chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, and the Bible says, "And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. What the wise men had to remove was possessions. Sometimes possessions can become more important than Jesus. It doesn't always happen that way. And maybe it doesn't happen with you that way. I'm just saying there is a possibility that possessions can be more important than your relationship with Jesus. Possessions can become an excuse to not spending time with Jesus. They presented gold. They presented frankincense. They presented myrrh. And everything that we have in life, we have to remember that God allowed us to have these things. My grandparents' house that I grew up visiting, and I would stay there in the summers, my grandparents' house, to my knowledge, I haven't been there in a few years, but my grandparents' house is still standing, but no one is in it. The barns are still there, but the barns are very withered. When I did go see the farm, and before my cousin sold the farm, he inherited the farm and he sold it. But before he sold it, he lives in Kentucky, and he and I were talking, and I said, I'd like to go by there. I'd like to go by, and I would like to spend some time on the farm. So we did. We went to the farm. It's been maybe 3 or 4 years or a little longer now, and we walked around, and I remembered. Walking the fence line with my grandfather. I remember going into the barn where my grandmother would feed the cows, and she would milk the cows. And I actually found the trough that my grandmother used, and I actually have that, the trough that my grandmother used when she would put the feed in, and her cows would be eating while she was milking them. And I kind of reminisced all those things. I reminisced a lot of things about the farm. But that farm now belongs to someone else. And that's really going to be our possessions one day. Our possessions are going to belong to someone else or either not exist anymore. But what's going to be most important is our relationship with Jesus. Our relationship with Jesus will never be taken away. The only thing it's going to do is as we love Him, as we worship Him, as we praise Him, it's going to be enriched. As we study, as we read, as we fellowship, it's just going to become stronger. It's just going to become more dear to us. But we must make room for Jesus. So the wise men, they gave up those possessions and those riches for Jesus. If you were the innkeeper, what would you have said? Just a thought. If you were the innkeeper, what would you have said? I ask the question tonight, is there anything at all that is hindering your relationship and your fellowship with the Lord Jesus? The Bible says, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. We understand tonight that all of this is orchestrated by God and it was God's plan. But what if you were the innkeeper? Would you make room? Would you find room? Is there anything that could be hindering? And that's the reason we titled this message, Making Room for Jesus. We need to make room for Him tonight. We need to make room. Let's pray. Father, thank You for our time together. And as we just did a quick snapshot of a wonderful event of the birth of Jesus, we know tonight that you orchestrated everything. We know that everything was divinely planned. We know everything that was taking place you already knew of. But Lord, we also know that sometimes things get in our way. Sometimes hinder our relationship. So Father, I pray as we search our hearts, as you search our hearts, Lord, if there's anything that's in our way, Lord, I pray that we'll be willing to set it aside and that Jesus will be first in our life no matter what. Help us, Lord, we pray as we have this invitation. If you have spoken to a heart, Lord, I pray that they'll come and that we'll make that commitment. Lord, you're first in my life. Be first in my life. And if there's anything hindering, Lord, I pray that we'll be willing to remove that hindrance to make you first. We ask your blessings on our invitation now, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen.